What's up, Atlanta? Happy Saturday with Turtle. Got you until 7:30 when Hawks action comes your way then. Lake show in town. No Austin Reeves, so it'll be Luka and them boys tonight as we wait for LeBron to make his season debut as well. But no Porzingis tonight for the Hawks. Going to be tough. They lost kind of a lackluster, no effort, no energy game last night. Didn't even break 100 points at home versus Toronto. They're now 0-2 versus them. That was also a NBA Cup game for those keeping score at home, all seven of you. A bad loss for the Hawks last night. They dipped back below 500, but they got a chance to get back to it tonight. Coverage starting at 7:30. Tip is at 8 right here on 92.9 The Game. College football. Whoa, Nelly. Did we just have one? I got Dom with me for the first hour of the show. And Fernando Mendoza has his Heisman moment.
Yep.
He comes out and makes a throw to the sideline. The throw and the catch, both SportsCenter top 10 worthy. But Dom comes out of the studio. He's like, Turtle, did you see the throw and the catch? I'm like, no, man, I'm watching the other game. And he's like, you got to watch it. So I went and immediately found the highlight. And I was like, whoa, this dude launched one pinpoint accuracy to where only the receiver could get it and tap his toe on the sideline.
When I say defying gravity, with like just defying physics with how he was able to get his feet down, because he got both feet in too. That's the crazy part about it.
That was an amazing throw and catch. And again, maybe a potential with no one else really staking their claim to it up until this point. Maybe a Heisman defining moment for one Fernando Mendoza.
I'll say Heisman and number one overall pick solidifying.
Well, funny you say that. As of this morning, even before this game, the rankings came out for who was most likely to be number one overall, and it was Fernando Mendoza.
Yep.
So not only boosting his stock for the Heisman, but as Dom said, potentially for seeing him on Sundays as well.
Congratulations, you are a New Orleans Saint.
Or a New York Jet. Both of which, one is worse than the other right now. Now, here's the thing, if we're being honest, I don't know in any other year if he'd be the number one overall pick, but sometimes it's your year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's your year.
Hey,
what was it for the Dolphins a decade ago? Was it Jake Long wound up being the number one overall? I mean, sometimes it's just one of those years, man. And this could be one. Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, it's just one of those years where guys skyrocket up the board because there is no conventional.
Has there ever been a guy, you just said it and it made me think, has there ever been a guy who whose draft stock shot up more because of one play than Jadeveon Clowney?
And it's ironic because it was the New York Jets. It wasn't a play. It was a workout. Zach Wilson from BYU
had
a workout that impressed the Jets so much that they drafted him number two overall. If that's not New York Jetson, I don't know what is, baby.
That's fair.
Zach Wilson, and ironically, it wasn't even the rumor was it wasn't even just the entire workout. It was one specific throw where he was in shorts and just threw across his body.
Yeah, he was
like
rolling
Pat
out.
Pat Mahomes style sidearm, and he threw it like 45 yards on a bullet down the field to the receiver, and the rest is history. And now he's a backup for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Good for you, Zach Wilson.
Is he? I would say he might be third string now behind Quinn Ewers.
That, you know what, he is. You're right. You're right about that. He is third string behind Quinn Ewers. Oh, so that's where the state of that is. Bulldogs. It's funny, Dom. Orin and I last night were making our picks, and we both said the same thing. We feel like Georgia, after some scares, the Florida game, they need to just come out and just have a steamroll type of effort.
Yeah.
Got a little slow again, a little bit of a slow start, but they wind up winning 41-21. Gunnar Stockton goes for 265 yards and three touchdowns. Nate Frazier has 181 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
And they wind up rolling Mississippi State on the road, 41-21. That line was 9.5. They cleared that by double. And that was that. And then the game you just heard right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I heard a lot of this going into this game, and now it's confirmed. Texas Tech is legit. BYU, not so much on offense.
Say BYU fans were doing a lot of chirping at Notre Dame recently about how they didn't want any. Yeah, apparently you all didn't want any.
That offense was either. Nowhere to be found. They scored one touchdown in the fourth quarter, and that was it. Texas Tech is legit. They're a legit contender, not only for the conference, but for the college football playoff. That was a statement victory. They now move to 9-1 on the season. They're 6-1 in the Big 12, firmly in position to compete there. And listen, I mean, why not? Again, we've talked about it this year. You have Ohio State at the top and A&M and Georgia, but like, there's not 10 incredible teams. Texas Tech is one of them. Indiana with the squeak by win that we talked about. Yeah.
Everyone is beatable. Everyone.
Even Ohio State. I mean, they had Purdue today. They won 34-3. No big deal. Julian saying 27-33, 300 yards and a touchdown. He's in the Heisman race as well. But this doesn't feel like a year where, you know, you're typical of the last 15 years where it's like, oh, it's Georgia again. Oh, it's Alabama again. No, it feels like there's a team out there that could take down Ohio State. I don't feel like this Ohio State team, their defense, I will say, is incredible. But Julian saying, like, he's been good since that first week against Texas. He's not Cam Newton, in his Heisman year. Like, this is not a situation where this team is not unbeatable. He's not even what Bo Nix was at Oregon. I mean, they're really good. Don't get me wrong, and they are well deserving. They're 9-0 and a defending national champion. But again, it just doesn't feel like a year where you're sitting back as a college football fan and saying, "Well, everything runs through Ohio State. We're just waiting to get there."
There's no heavy favorites.
That's not going to be the case this year. We got some great games coming up tonight. Does Alabama get faced with some NCE? If I say that, Dom, do you know what that stands for?
NCE.
LSU coming to town with some NCE. Mm-mm. That would be new coach energy.
There we go.
Does
okay.
LSU with some NCE roll into Tuscaloosa and cause all sorts of problems.
You believe in that? You believe the team plays a little bit more when it's interim coach in there?
It's always short-lived, but you do get a bump those first couple of weeks because it's like the pressure valve is just let off, because especially with Brian Kelly. Oh, my God. Must have been like walking on glass in that locker room those past couple of weeks. Auburn is at Vandy right now. That's another good game just getting started. Syracuse is at Miami. Does Miami just throw up the red flag or the white flag and just say, you know what?
It's done, guys.
We had such high hopes. Oregon's at Iowa right now. That's one to watch as well. Weather in that game. Iowa, we know what they're trying to do. They're trying to win this game 10-7, as they always do. And last but not least, really one to keep an eye on here is a loaded slate of college football. A&M is at Missouri. Missouri's ranked 22nd, but they have a backup quarterback in right now because Bo Prabula, who was having a great season, sustained an injury, and he couldn't get past it. And he's going to be out. So A&M rolls in with Marcel Reed and company, and they're going to try to keep this dream season going, 8-0 and 5-0 in the SEC. So that is a look at where college football stands today. Again, a great slate already, and we'll be rocking and rolling here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game until 7:30. Falcons fans, let's talk, you and I, 404-726-0929. Here's the question. And it's really unfortunate that we even need to have this discussion, Dom, but I think we do. If the Falcons lose tomorrow in Germany and fall to 3-6, and essentially, barring an absolute miracle run that we've maybe seen once or twice in NFL history, and they fall to 3-6, come home. Two-parter. Should more coaching changes be made? And part B, will they actually do it? 404-726-0929. Falcons fans, let's talk. 404-726-0929. Should the Falcons make more coaching changes if they fall to 3-6? We know about Ike Hilliard, who got canned earlier in the season, the wide receivers coach. And part B, would they actually do it? Going to take your calls, 404-726-0929. That's going to be our question of the day. Here's the caveat. Who exactly can they fire? Unfortunately, I think the argument needs to be made that you have to keep Raheem Morris. And this is why. For the sake of Michael Penix Jr., for the sake of Bijan Robinson, for the sake of Drake London, and all the young studs on this team, Jalen Walker, James Pierce, you cannot afford to have Zach Robinson or Jeff Ulbrich coach this team even for a game. You can't do it. You can't do it. Why? Zach Robinson is a mess of enough as an offensive coordinator. The last thing I want to do is give him more responsibility. And Jeff Ulbrich, back in New York last year, I know y'all weren't paying attention because it was the Jets. Unfortunately, most of y'all know by now, I'm from New York. Unfortunately, grew up rooting for that mess of a franchise. That went down as maybe the worst interim coaching decision in NFL history. And that's not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating, y'all. Ulbrich admitted as much in the offseason. And when he first got here to Atlanta, he was like, yeah, that was not my best work. I did not delegate properly. I did not handle the situation well. So the last thing I'm doing again is putting him in charge of a franchise after that for the second year in a row. And also, not for nothing, I need him focusing on the defense. I need him keeping his patoot right where it is. Right where it is. I don't need him right now trying to focus on running a franchise when this defense is finally getting on track after years and years, and there's so much problem. Just focus on that. So I think the only coach realistically that would be fired is Zach Robinson. So what do you think? I mean, if you think Raheem should be fired, you're more than welcome to call in. But unfortunately for me, I don't really see anybody in-house they could let steer the ship for the last couple of weeks. So I think Raheem Morris, the realistic possibility, unfortunately, is if they lose again, 3-6, 3-7, and you're looking at another lost season officially, I don't think Raheem Morris goes. Because I don't think they have anybody. TJ Yates, absolutely not. Jeff Ulbrich, absolutely not. Zach Robinson, absolutely not. But could I see them letting go of Zach? Yeah. Yes, I could. Especially if they lose because the offense is all screwy again. So 404-726-0929 is the number. I see the bank's filling up. So we're going to get right to your calls when we get back. If the Falcons lose tomorrow, and God forbid lose again, do you think they'll make coaching changes? And should they make coaching changes? It's a two-parter. 404-726-0929. Your calls as soon as we get back. Just getting started. Chris Thomas tonight with you until 7:30 on 92.9 The Game. Should they and will they? Two-parter today with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. If they can't get this thing done overseas tomorrow and fall to 3-6, should the Atlanta Falcons make more coaching changes? And maybe more importantly, will they? I laid it out for you there in the open. I think, unfortunately, there's really only one move to make, and that would be to let go of Zach Robinson, because there really isn't anybody on this coaching staff that I want anywhere near the head coaching responsibilities. Certainly not Zach, not Jeff Ulbrich, not Marquise Williams, not TJ Yates. No thanks, I'm good. So, unfortunately, even if the things go completely sideways and Raheem Morris does deserve to lose his job, because at the end of the day, the NFL is a results-oriented business, and if you don't win games in the NFL, you will not hold the job. That's just what it comes down to. So if this team goes to 3-6, 3-7, and that's a wrap, and it's 8 straight years without the playoffs, I think heads are going to roll. But I don't think that can happen until the end of the season. But maybe you disagree. What do you think? 404-726-0929. Should they and will they make coaching changes if tomorrow does not go the way that we all hope? Let's start with our buddy Scott in Atlanta. Scott.
Hey, how you doing, Turtle?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, I'll answer those questions, but real quick, did you see the Predator movie?
No, I'm actually going to go over Thanksgiving weekend with my dad and my buddy, because my dad's flying down from New Jersey, so we're going to wait till then.
Oh, okay. I enjoy hearing your movie takes, so whenever you see it, I'll be interested to hear what you say.
Yeah, man.
Going back to the Falcons, here's what I think is going to happen. I am not optimistic about tomorrow. I've given my takes on previous shows of yours, but I don't think that they're necessarily going to fire Zach Robinson tomorrow after the game tomorrow if the Falcons lose, but only if it's a close loss. If we get absolutely blown out by the Colts and it's something in the neighborhood of like 34-6 or 34-3, and we look like we've regressed offensively and we just are inept and just can't even move the ball, that's a different story. If that happens, I really think Zach Robinson will be fired, and it won't come from Raheem. It'll come from Arthur Blank or someone above Raheem, and his hand will be forced. So I think it's all about how we lose tomorrow, if we indeed lose. Now, as far as Raheem getting fired and there potentially being a interim coach or, you know, another coach to take over, I think that's going to happen. I think it will happen, but only when we mathematically are eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think he'll be fired until then. And if he is fired at that point, does it really matter who's the coach at that point? Because all we would be playing for is pride and really a higher draft pick. So I as a Falcons fan, I don't mind at that point if Raheem is relieved of his duties, if we're mathematically eliminated, because really and truthfully, we would just be playing for pride. And maybe that matters to some people, but at that point, I'm all about getting the higher draft pick. So thank you.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate it. Unfortunately, the flaw in your thinking there is, Scott, at the end, it can always be worse. And that's the problem. Locker room could go sideways. Players could give up. Players could quit. With an interim head coach, it could always be worse. It may not necessarily get better, but it could always get worse.
What that was the audio version of the meme with Homer Simpson and Bart, where he's like, "This is the worst day I've ever had." And he's like, "This is the worst day you've ever had so far.
So far, exactly. That's the problem. Rob isn't coming. Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Turtle? No, the Falcons will not win. Should they fire anybody? No, they can't really, because there's nobody in the pipeline to take over that's going to actually complete the Falcons and help them win. I think the Falcons lost the locker room. The head coach lost the locker room when they fired Ike Hilliard and made him the fall guy for the fact that Zach Robinson is just vanilla when it comes to making calls.
Have you seen a lack of effort the last couple of weeks?
I don't think it's necessarily a lack of effort. I think the Falcons have a certain scheme and it's not working. I mean, look at Daniel Jones. He goes to Indianapolis and he flourishes when he's just been a bucket water before that. So I think maybe their scheme's not right, but I think a big issue long-term is the fact that Michael Penix, his mechanics are horrible, and I don't think he'll ever elevate the team to really be really good. They'll just be mediocre. And then you've got the play calling. You've got a head coach who's really been suspect for a long time. Look, you got an owner who hired Arthur Smith before he hired Fontenot. I mean, the whole thing is backwards. Everything is a mess. I think Arthur Blank really owns the team. He loves the team. And he does it from a passionate side, but I don't think he really looks at it from a realistic side. I mean, you got McKay, who hires Mora, and then Petrino, draft picks like Jamal Anderson and Williams. I mean, it's just a list of just bad people that are managing the organization, and that's all I really got to say.
No, appreciate it.
And one last thing.
Yep.
Had Arthur Blank really been an owner, he would have called Dan Quinn on the sidelines in the Super Bowl and told him, you run the ball or all of you are fired. That's really what he should have done.
Well,
thank you.
No, I appreciate it, Rob. That's revisionist history. There's no sense in going back down that avenue, although I do understand being as frustrated, you know, because those are the memories you look back to most fondly. That season hasn't been the same since. You made the playoffs the next year, and we know what happened versus the Eagles. And then it hasn't been the same since, to Rob's point. Let's see what Josh is thinking in Atlanta. Josh.
Yeah. So I agree with you guys. I don't think that they are going to fire anybody. I don't think they're going to win tomorrow. But at the end of the day, I do think Zach Robinson does have to go. You wasted too much draft capital on this offense for it to be performing the way it's performing. So if I had to find anybody, Zach Robinson has got to go. But do I think they're going to let him go? No. I don't think they're going to let him go. But I don't think he is creative enough to be an offensive coordinator. And unfortunately, Raheem Morris has hitched his cart to that wagon. So he's riding it out.
Yeah, Josh.
So that's my opinion right now.
And I appreciate it, man. Good stuff from Josh in Atlanta. Here's the problem, Dom. Raheem Morris, to use Josh's phrase, hitched his wagon to Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson. Not exactly a Hall of Fame-worthy coordinator class.
So here's why I feel Coach Ra might be fine. If you're going to fire someone, it definitely needs to be Zach Robinson. I feel like Raheem has at least shown that I can get a coordinator pick right. I may just need a second time to do it because he had Jimmy Lake. Jimmy Lake was his guy. Didn't work. You fired him. You bring in Ulbrich. I think Ulbrich has been fine. I think he's been...
No, he's been good.
I think he's been very good for the defense.
And the bright spots have been really bright.
Exactly.
There's been some low spots, Dolphins and Panthers, but...
So it's funny that you mentioned the Dolphins because if I'm Raheem Morris, what I'm doing is as soon as this season is over, Zach Robinson, you get the hell out of here. Hey, Mike McDaniel, can you please come and save my job?
Yeah.
And be my offensive coordinator.
It's a good call. And I think Mike McDaniel may be a classic case of guy who's a genius at one thing and needs to just stick to that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not head coaching material. He's just an odd bird, man. Andrew's in Loganville. Andrew.
Hey, guys. Good show as usual. I think for me, looking at the Falcon, and I'm rooting for the Falcon to win, and what I'm seeing is that I think it starts with the upper management. General manager, what's his name? McKay. He's been in this organization a long time. Rich McKay. I've been watching the Falcon, and I'm like, for them to let Raheem pick the guys that he picked, especially he messed up on offense, the coordinator. You have an offense that they have drafted decently, and if you have drafted decently on offense, and you're telling me when I look at all their 8 games that they have played, just looking at it and analyzing, the defense have played well enough. The offense is horrible. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. You have the best 1-2 combination in running, and you have probably a dog at wide receiver, and you got ancillary pieces to go with that, and you're not producing more than 20-something points a game. You should be at least touching 30, and your defense should be holding the team under 20. That would make you win. So I think the coordinator, offensive coordinator, is bad, but I think the organization as a whole has to have more decision. And for Pittsburgh Steelers, like I use a Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they just let the coach hire anybody and everybody. You got to have some kind of history, some kind of credibility. And the Falcons have been at this a long time now. They got to get people with more credibility to put around the talent that they have because they don't lack talent. They lack good coaching. And even the game I was watching, and I was rooting for them, even the game that they just lost the other day, and a lot of people don't mention that. When Raheem went on fourth down and did not kick the ball, if they had kicked the ball during that game, they probably would have ended up coming out. If you guys remember that fourth down that he actually went for it. If they had kicked it, they would have got 3 points there. The Matt said they would have won the game.
Well,
even although
Andrew, the problem is they don't trust their kicker. And with good reason, and I appreciate the call because you know why? He gone. Zane Gonzalez is going to be your kicker. So Raheem kind of had his hands tied behind his back. But again, what does that go back to? That's an organizational issue. You've had a kicking situation since last season, and you didn't fix it. To Andrew's point. Good stuff from Andrew in Loganville. Let's see what Jared in Powder Springs is thinking. Jared, you're in the game. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? How you doing,
man? I'm great, man. Thanks for checking in. What's up?
Yes, sir. So I would just say it's not if we lose, it's how we lose. Like the first caller said, and going back to the last caller, you only get score a touchdown on 12% of our red zone drives. There's no way in the world you're going to win the game with those type of numbers. So it's just how you lose. But do we lose like how we look like versus the Bills? We just come out on the short end, or do we go how we played against the Panthers? So I think that's a determining factor. If somebody does get fired, it does have to be that just because of the 12% is an egregious number. Like, if you start looking at other numbers, we was 1-for-10 in third downs last week. That's hard. That's terrible.
Well, Jared, the other thing, too, is who the heck is going to be the interim head coach if you fire Raheem? There's literally nobody there. And I got a good tweet from somebody on Twitter. Let me make sure I give him credit. It was Jason, and I appreciate the phone call, Jared, who tweeted in and said, at C Thomas Radio is where you can find me. The fact that we don't have an interim option on the staff is also a huge indictment of the franchise. And that's 100% right. There's literally nobody I would trust. Not TJ, not Zach, definitely not Zach, not Jeff Obrick, definitely not Jeff after the disaster with the Jets last year. No way. Marquise Williams, no way. Sorry, special teams has been awful this year, too. Tinker, you're up next. Tinker, what's up, bud?
What's up, man?
Yo.
Yo, just finishing the day up. We're about to gather some ingredients because we're going to tie one on tonight.
You got a pig roast going on? What you doing?
No. We're going to liquor. We're going to get that liquor going.
Oh, there you go, man.
No, I can't do the pig roast. She won't even entertain the idea.
Well, not with your buddy at home, I would assume not, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, he wasn't going to have all that. But now I'll answer the question there. I got one for you.
Yep.
When they lose, they should fire Zach. They're not going to. And the one frustration I got with the organization in the past handful of years, I'm tired of hiring people for the first time for that job.
Yeah,
I'm tired of newbies. I want veterans, you know. I'm tired of everybody. Oh, it's his first time at this level. It's his first time either head coach, coordinator, cheerleader. I don't care. I just want a veteran. That's all I ask. And then my question is, what do you think is going to be in the gift baskets that the Rams are going to send us?
That's a good question, Tinker. Good stuff, man. Enjoy yourself tonight. Tie one on for me. F them picks, right? How about that? Comes right back as a big old slapperoonie in the face. Love it. That's our buddy Tinker there. If you ever want, Tinker's one of our best remote listeners,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
he comes out everywhere and he celebrates with Dukes and Bell and Andy and Randy and everybody else out there. So go have a drink with Tinker next time 92.9 The Game is on a remote. I see Cody, Alex, Tutty, Miles, and Allison are on hold. Y'all are up next. As soon as we get back, we got one line open. Get aboard, 404-726-0929. Great first batch of calls. As always, appreciate everybody who checked in. Will the Falcons make another coaching move if they lose tomorrow? And should they? To me, there's only one move to make. It's Zach Robinson. What do you think? Back with you in five. Chris Thomas tonight. Yeah, I'm fired up too, y'all. Lines are still jammed. Get in if you can at 404-726-0929. I'm taking all your calls. I'm here until 7:30. We'll rock these phones all afternoon long here on 92.9 The Game. This is a must-win game for the Atlanta Falcons. I said it this weekend on Chris Thomas Tonight. Dukes and Bell with Mark Zinno filling in said it multiple times this week as well. This is a must-win game for the Atlanta Falcons. So if they don't, what's next? Do they make a coaching change? Should they make a coaching change? That's what we're talking about. I don't think you can fire Raheem Morris, man, because there's just nobody in-house to take that job. So I think Zach Robinson would ultimately be that guy. Well, but what do you think? You tell me. Cody's out in Roswell. He starts us off this segment. Cody.
Hey, I think we're kind of missing the point. I love what Miami did, firing Chris Greer and keeping McDaniel. I think too often we let GMs scapegoat coaches. I've seen enough of Terry Fontenot. Like you said, we knew we had a kicker issue. We didn't fix it. You let Matt Ryan go. You go after Deshaun Watson, and thank God you don't get him. And then your backup plan is Desmond Ridder. You draft Michael Penix, whose draft profile is throwing a beautiful deep ball, and then you've got an offensive line that can't pass block, and your best receiver is more of a mid-range target. Like, the roster is completely misbuilt. You built from the outside in, drafting skill players when your offensive line isn't built yet. There's no plan for this team. Like, I don't know if Zach Robinson can even call the plays he wants to call.
Like, well, I don't disagree with anything you said, but you have to admit it. He did nail it this year in the draft.
So, yeah, no. And he's made some good draft picks, especially at the top, but it's like, you know, and I watched like the Lions, you know, shut down the Buccaneers with the entire defensive backfield out, all five starters. The Chargers still running the ball with, you know, we have no depth. Like, Diablo goes down and Bertrand is hopeless. Like, we have no depth because he's whiffed on so many third, fourth, and fifth rounders.
No, Cody, that's a great point, and I appreciate you checking in. Really strong call to kick off this segment. That's another response that you could certainly have. If you feel like, listen, not many GMs get 5-6 years in the NFL,
yeah, right,
with 7-10 every single year. I mean, that's just, ironically, the one guy that did was Chris Greer. Because
yeah,
he went a decade without making the playoffs. But he's by far the outlier.
Right. What I will say about Terry Fontenot is that the reason why I'm not, and if you listen to the station enough, you know I was, for like the past 2 years, I've been saying get Terry out of here. But this season and everything that kind of played out, I feel like it's not necessarily Terry is a bad GM, because I think he can evaluate talent. I think his issue is more so draft philosophy, and it's something that Cody was talking about there, where he built the team from the outside in, where, you know, you focus on all the skill positions and you spent all of the high draft capital there but didn't invest. I think it's more so a philosophy thing, which is why I'm not all the way out on Terry, because I feel like if you can curb that, he's still very good at identifying.
Well, here's the irony. If they were 5-3 instead of 3-5, there would be zero chatter
exactly
about Terry losing his job because of how well he did this offseason. Let's go to Alex in Lawrenceville. Alex.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? What's going on, Turtle? I'm kind of like back and forth. At some point, yes, I think it is Zach. And just like the caller just said, I agree halfway with what he's saying. But a lot of coaching is cultivating the talent you have and putting them in the best position. So if he built it outside in, like people are saying, he has to have the ability to get his players involved with the speed on offense and defense and make them productive. It is a crime that Bijan is not averaging 80 yards a game. It's a crime that he's not averaging 100 yards total a game. Also, let me, just for the fans, because they're hit and miss. They're wishy-washy to me. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, you go and get Kirk for $100-something million. You draft Penix. I know Penix is like, dang, dude, Kirk goes down, and y'all put me in to be the savior when y'all didn't want me anyway. And now you're rushing my development, and I haven't even had a full season to develop as a young quarterback. So it's like you want him in, then you don't want him in. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like we have to make up our minds, and football it's not a microwave industry.
Well,
it's,
here's the problem,
you have to build this
Alex,
thing slowly.
Here's the problem, Alex, and I thank you for the phone call. To your point, here's the problem. And I've mentioned this before on 92.9 The Game. It's a timeline issue, to your point. Michael Penix's development is not matching up with the expectations of a team that had a playoff mandate attached to it. That's the issue. Penix is developing, but it's not at a level where a team cannot overcome the injuries that they've had so far and the miscues from the coaching staff. To Alex's point, they are not a team that's good enough to survive the mistakes of a rookie quarterback 10 games into his season or into his career and making rookie mistakes. And they bet on him. They bet the house on him, as a matter of fact, in a year where you had to make the playoffs. And right now, it just doesn't seem like they're going to make the playoffs. And that's a humongous problem, which in and of itself, forget this week if they don't make the playoffs in general, I don't think anybody's back. Let's go to Tutty up next. Tutty.
Yeah, what's up, man? How are y'all doing today?
Great, man. What's up?
So my whole thought process is you're looking in-house to replace if you get rid of Raheem. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is Mike McCarthy not sitting at home on his couch right now?
I mean, he is, but you think okay, he... But, so why, but if you're Mike McCarthy, you would come into this mess to try to fix your resume to get hired either by the Falcons or another franchise? I wouldn't do that if I was him.
I mean, maybe he would, though. And it would probably end up being better because, let's be honest, this is Raheem's second try at being a head coach. And, man, I got to tell you, from the way it's, I see it, he's done nothing but fail.
Well, if you and I thank you for the phone call, Teddy. I mean, literally speaking, if you look at his record, he's like almost, what, 20 games under 500 as a head coach? It's not good. I mean, that's just what it is. But, no, I don't think you're getting Mike McCarthy or you're calling about Chip Kelly or you're getting any of these guys. No. The way an interim situation would work, it would be in-house, but there's just nobody there. There's no mm-hmm. bodies that are equipped enough, in my opinion, to do it. They're just not. And I think it's pretty simple. Miles is in Marietta. Miles.
Yeah, what's going on, y'all? I think my issue is, so if we lose, I don't feel like there's any point in firing Raheem mid-season. Like, Blank hardly ever does that. The team would have to literally fall apart for him to fire the coach mid-season. But if we do lose, I think the writing's on the wall for the whole staff. Like, I think we should just blow the whole thing up.
Hang on. To counter your argument, though, if they lose this game tomorrow and it's their fourth in a row, you can't argue that the thing has totally fallen apart?
I mean, you can definitely make that argument. You can definitely make that argument. I just think, you know, just from Blank history, I just don't see him necessarily doing it mid-season. He just has shown time and time again that he's not willing to pull the trigger mid-season. If it was me, you know, I would have fired him for sure, but I'm not the owner, right? So
No, listen, I get your point, and I thank you for the phone call. But, again, if you want to use the argument of, well, let's wait till the bottom falls out, guys, come close. Come close to your radios. Come close to your speakers. Come close to your iPhone. If they go 3-6 and it's 4 in a row, the season is bottomed out and falling apart. Sorry. Hate to break it to you like that, but that's exactly what it is. 404-726-0929. Miles and Marietta, thanks for calling in. Allison's in Atlanta. Allison.
Hey, how you doing this evening, Turtle?
Hey, Allison, what's up?
Nothing much. Listen, what you're saying is absolutely correct. This staff is not built to have, and we don't even have an interim offensive coordinator in the building, much less an interim head coach. Ulbrich is not going to do this again. He already did this with the Jets. There's no way on God's good earth he's going to say, yeah, I'll be the one to step in and be the interim head coach again. He's not doing that. So, again, Raheem built his staff with no contingency plan. And I will say this, Atlanta Falcons as an organization does not build for contingencies. We were lucky that Matt Ryan was as healthy as he was for all the years that he was here, but we never drafted his backup. We never made that a priority. And then once he left, after they went after Nasty Man, then he's like, okay, I can leave. I'm okay with it. And like somebody said, then he ended up getting stuck with Mariota and you know, just anybody off the couch. We don't build ourselves for contingency plans. And that's the thing that's hurt us. Raheem didn't build his staff to say, okay, if Zach doesn't work out, who's next up? Look at how quickly the Houston Texans got rid of Bobby Sloyd when people picked up on his offense and started, you know, scheming to stop CJ Stroud and everybody. But again, Raheem just didn't build his staff that way because I think he's insecure, and he just, to me, he doesn't know who the good people are in the NFL to be able to build a staff.
No, Allison, can't argue that. He certainly doesn't look that way. He's two defensive coordinators in and maybe on a second offensive coordinator if things don't go well tomorrow. Great call from Allison in the A. Let's finish up with Eric in Alpharetta. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Turtle, how's it going?
Good, man. What are you thinking?
All right, so this is kind of a two-part from when I last called in, I think Monday or Tuesday, with the whole what I had to say. So I'm glad I can actually explain this. All right, so yeah, if we lose tomorrow, they're gone. They're out the door. Now, who's going to replace them? For me personally, what makes the best sense for head coach? John Gruden. He's John Gruden. You know, you can't beat him. And then for offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. They're tired of him in Baltimore. I love him. He was old dog's offensive coordinator. Bring him in, you know, coach him, get him coached up to what we need. You know, John Gruden will get everyone in line. Keep Ulbrich, because Ulbrich is an amazing defensive coordinator. He's suffering because his defense can't stay out there extended periods of time like they have been. So that's my dream team of the coaching stuff, what I want to see next season. I hope it gets done. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. To me, that's an off-season move. Again, the same response I had to the previous caller who said bring in McCarthy. You can't just bring in these established guys three-quarters of the way through the season. They have to implement their own schemes, their own coaching staff. Like, John Gruden and Mike McCarthy are Super Bowl-winning head coaches. They're not just going to come in to be a Band-Aid for your organization. They're going to require, you know, a full off season of getting their programs installed for the Atlanta Falcons. That's the frustrating part, is you really can only go in these scenarios. You really can only go in house, and the Falcons just don't have anybody that makes sense. That's the problem. All right. 404-726-0929. Top of the hour. We will take more of your calls. Let's just keep rocking and rolling, peeps. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You'll be first up. If not, grab a line. We'll continue this discussion. If the Falcons fall to 3-6 tomorrow, I think it's a must-win game, and I don't think there's a way to climb out of that hole. Should they make more coaching moves, and will they make more coaching moves, and who should go? 404-726-0929. Talking Falcons football with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight.